Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sword and Shield Show. I'm Catherine Resendez. Thank you for tuning in. I'd like to begin with one of my favorite Hebrew scriptures, which talks about the mercy and grace of God, the throne of grace. This show is all about the love and grace and mercy and forgiveness of the Lord God Almighty. And so let's begin here again with Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And that says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I have no idea what you're dealing with now. Whatever it is, in whatever area of your life, know that the Lord God is in control. He doesn't cause all things to happen to us. He doesn't cause all the bad things to happen in this life, but he's in control. Nothing can happen to us that he doesn't allow because he's in control. Many things that he allows to happen to us or to draw us closer to him, to lead and guide us in the right way to go, to strengthen us, to help us develop the character, the kind of character that God wants us to have in our lives, to glorify him. No matter what things go wrong, no matter what hardships we face, one day he will make it all right. And he tells us that he is always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He loves us more than anyone can. We belong to him. And he tells us to have faith in him. In Luke 1:45, he tells us, "You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said." That's part of what's called Mary's song, or the Magnificat of Mary. She was blessed because she believed what the Lord would do. The angel of the Lord visited her and told her that she would be the mother of God, even though she was a virgin. God chose her to be the mother of Jesus. She believed him, and he blessed her. He tells us in the Bible that Abraham believed God, and he was blessed. God rewarded him. He tells us that he rewards obedience. Today, my scripture, the chapter of scripture that I'm going to read, will be in the book of 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel chapter 20, I just want to let you know, in case you have a Bible and you'd like to follow along. If not, of course, you can listen. Again, that's going to be 1 Samuel chapter 20. I want to talk about other scripture verses today in which the Lord gives us promises, just as Mary was told that she would be the mother of God. She would be the mother of the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus. God gives many promises in the Bible. Some things we we misunderstand and can take for granted. But there are many things that the Lord tells us in the Bible. And we can stand by his word. He gives us hope in his scriptures. No matter what's going on in our lives, we can find hope and peace in the Bible. He addresses every issue in general. For example, regarding how husbands and wives are to treat each other in marriage, how we're to raise our children, that sort of thing. He tells us how to handle money wisely and time, and all of the gifts and the talents, all of the skills that he gives us, we're to use all of those things to glorify him, to help others. We are to serve him by helping others. And so he tells us, of course, that salvation is a free gift. We need to have faith, that even faith is a gift from God because we don't have that on in our own. And if you don't have a Bible, I hope that you will get one soon so that you can read it for yourself and see what the Lord says, so that you don't have to take someone else's word for it. The first step to understanding the Bible is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, to trust by faith that he is God, that he is the Son of God, that he died on the cross to pay the debt for our sins, and he rose again from the dead, and that by his resurrection, he gave us the hope for eternal life, that we can know, we can have the assurance that we will be with him in heaven when we die if we receive him as Lord and Savior of our lives and follow him in the Christian life. If we allow him to change us from the inside out and make us new creatures in Christ Jesus, only Jesus can save us. He tells us that he is the only way, but he is the way. He is the way, the gate, the path. No one can come to the Father. No one can come to heaven except through Jesus. There's no other way. And if you read the Bible, excuse me, you'll come to understand so many things that you could never have known or understood otherwise. It really is amazing. All you need is faith in God, trusting by faith that Jesus is God, that he died on the cross to pay the debt for our sins and rose again from the dead, that he lives in heaven and also in the hearts of those of us who choose to follow him and obey him, to allow him to live the Christian life through us by the power of his Holy Spirit. Because we belong to him, he created us. He's our heavenly Father. And he created us to be in fellowship and communion with him, to please him, to bring glory to him in his name. And he blesses us for obedience. He provides for us everything that we need here. And so I want to read, excuse me. I want to read some scriptures from an organization called Evangelism Explosion. And this is from one of the teachings that's referred to as sort of an analogy of the hand. If you look at your hand, holding your hand palm down, your palm facing downward, and beginning with your thumb, each finger of the hand is given a scripture and represents something. And the thumb, in Evangelism Explosion, using the analogy of the hand, the thumb represents, excuse me, so sorry, my allergies are acting up. Okay, so if you're looking at your hand with the palm facing downward, beginning with the thumb, teaching and this analogy of the hand, the thumb represents heaven, that heaven is a free gift from God, but we must ask for it. We must ask for it. And the index finger represents man. And of course, we are men, we are humans, and we are sinful. Man is sinful and cannot get to heaven on our own. And the middle finger represents God. God is love, and he created a way. He created a way for man. To be sorry for rejecting God, to turn away from self and to rely on God, to rely on Jesus. God created a way for us. If we express sorrow for our sins and for rejecting Jesus and turn away from ourselves, our selfish ways, turn away from trying to be independent from God and rely on him and on the name of Jesus. That's the way. And then the second finger next to the little finger represents Jesus, or stands for Jesus. And Jesus is the gift giver. We can't get the gift from anyone else, only from Christ Jesus, our Savior. Then the little finger represents faith. It stands for faith. We must have faith. We must trust Jesus to act. We must act like we believe. We need to step out in faith. And then excuse me. The palm of the hand represents a commitment. We need to ask Jesus into our life. We need to make the commitment to learn about him and to live for him. This is a simple way of explaining it. If you've never heard that, this is what the Lord tells us, that there is only one way to heaven, no matter what other people say, and that Jesus Christ is the way. Now I'd like to read some other scriptures, and I hope you'll share that with other people. and it's something that you can easily find information on online. You can look up Evangelism Explosion. And I do hope that you will share that with other people and just tell them that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Do you know someone who's wondering? Are you wondering if you will ever be in heaven? Are you wondering how to get there? Do you know someone else who needs to know that information? Will you share with them? Will you check it out? There's so much information nowadays. It's very easy to find it. Go to any church that teaches the Word of God directly from the Bible. Let somebody know that you're ready to change your life, if you are. If you're ready to make a commitment and trust your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I'd like to read some other scriptures. This is from a collection that I have of promises from God. The first one is about forgiveness. This is found in 1 John 1:9. And most of my scriptures are from the New King James Version. I also use, I also use the English Standard Version. And sometimes the King James itself. There are so many nowadays. But this is from New King James. 1 John 1:9. It's regarding forgiveness. If you're at a crossroads in your life and you have decisions to make and are struggling with that, I suggest the best way to make the right decision is to ask the Lord Jesus Christ, ask the Lord Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to lead you and guide you in making your decisions. If you trust in him, if you receive him as your Savior and ask him to lead you, he will help you to make right choices. Sometimes it's very difficult, even when you are intentionally trying to obey him and do what he wants to do. Sometimes it can be very difficult to know if he wants you to do a particular thing or not to do it. And we'll touch on that more when I read today's gospel message, which is going to be 1 Samuel chapter 20. So I titled the show today about crossroads, thinking of the choices we have to make in life. And so many times the choices we have to make could change our lives forever. Some things are very trivial, but other things are so important. We need to be extremely sure before we sign anything or say anything or make a binding commitment. And so this first one is about forgiveness. And it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, that's 1 John 1:9. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we do things that are wrong unintentionally. We make choices all day, every day, all the time. We cannot live here on this earth without making choices, without making decisions. But if we make a wrong choice, if we do something wrong when we were actually trying to do something right, the Lord knows that. He says he knows our hearts. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He knows all things. He sees all things. He is present everywhere at once. And he forgives us for our sins. We need to confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. We need to repent of our wrongdoing, of our wrong choices, of our sins. Turn away from them, turn around and turn back to God. We don't want to do a 360. We don't want to turn completely around and go back to where we wind up back where we were in our sin, in our mistakes. But we want to turn around and turn our backs on our sin, on our bad choices. And so we want to turn around and leave the mistakes and the deliberate sins behind. Ask God to forgive us for our sins. Ask him to forgive us for our mistakes. And he promises to do that. He says that he will forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he says that he doesn't condemn us either. Once we confess our sins and ask forgiveness of God, he forgives us and he Cast our sins away from us as far as the east is from the west. And that's a great distance. It's an eternal distance because the east and the west never meet. He says that he buries our sins in the depths of the oceans. So he doesn't look upon sin. Remember, he's holy. God is holy. And he cannot look upon sin. So again, he gave us a great sacrifice. He gave us a great gift. He gave us Jesus to suffer and die on the cross to pay the debt for our sins, to set us free, to give us the righteousness of Christ, to take away the sin so there's no gap between us. Jesus is the bridge between God and man, and he intercedes for us. He is the only intercessor, God tells us in the Bible. Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Son of God, is the only intercessor between God and man. And he is the only way to heaven. He died on that cross for us alone. There was no one else hanging up there with him. He suffered all of the torture alone. He bled and died for us alone. He willingly died for us. He knew what was going to happen to him. But he left his deity behind, became a human, the God-man, for us. And took on the weight, the burden of all of our sins. He bore all of our sins on the cross and allowed every last drop of his precious blood to be shed, to be poured out for us, to pay that debt for our sins, to redeem us. And God made us righteous in Christ. We can never be righteous on our own, but he made us righteous in Christ Jesus. And he says that we are the righteousness of Christ. It's very difficult to comprehend things like that. And our human minds are just feeble when it comes to trying to understand things of divine nature. There's too much we cannot understand, but there's a great deal that we can understand. We can understand that God, that Jesus Christ, was the substitute for us. He was the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice for us on the cross. What he did on the cross and the shedding of his blood, the innocent Lamb of God dying on the cross for us, took away our debt. He paid for the sins, all of the sins that we will ever commit in this life. When we commit new sins, we need to come to the Lord, confess it, and repent of it, understanding that to repent means to turn away from our sins and to turn back to God and to obey him again. Make that commitment to obey him. Ask for his forgiveness, and he gives it freely. And he tells us in John 3:16 about eternal life. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And then he tells us we can have peace also. Listen to this. In John 14:27, now this one is from the NIV, the New International Version. It doesn't matter that there are different versions, that these versions, that the NIV is different from the New King James or from the English Standard Version. There are some versions that I would not recommend because they have been changed, but these have not been changed. The message is still true and honest and relevant. I believe that this is the Word of God. The Bible, the Holy Scriptures are the Word of God. God breathed, God inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit to the men who wrote them. And so here, this one is regarding eternal life. Again, this is John 3:16. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And of course, he's speaking of Jesus, our Savior, the one and only. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the God-man. And so now, hear about peace in John 14:27 in the NIV. It tells us, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." John 14:27. He tells us we can also have safety. Here in Isaiah 43:2, the New King James Version, he says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you." He tells us that no matter what happens to us, he is always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So we need to look to him for help, for truth, for confidence. He provides all of our needs. God knows what we need, even before we know ourselves. And many times we think we know exactly what we need, but so many times we ask for things that would just destroy us. And so God loves us so much that he will not give us those things that we ask for out of lust, out of materialistic desires. So many times he protects us by not giving what we ask for because he knows what the consequences will be. So many times we would just destroy ourselves. So here he gives us peace also. And in safety, he tells us in Isaiah 43:2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." Can you remember this? "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you." No matter how bad things seem to be, God is in control. God is always in control. And he has the last say. Again, that's Isaiah 43:2. He promises long life when we are obedient to him. Long life. I remember hearing this from my grandfather. I had one grandfather who was the only person I ever knew when I was growing up who read the Bible. Except, of course, when I went to church on Sundays, I heard the Bible read. Later, after I was a teenager, we had a Bible in our home. But we didn't read the Bible at home. We went to church on Sundays and special days throughout the year, special holy days of obligation. We went to confession and received communion. But we didn't go home and read the Bible. But after church services were over, we went back home and went back to doing the same things we always did. We didn't do anything differently. Later, when I began to read the Bible for myself and ask the Holy Spirit of God to help me understand it, eventually I began to see things differently and to understand how much God truly loves us and how so many of the things that I blamed him for were not his fault. Are there some things in your life that you blame God for? Things that were so painful, you didn't know how to deal with them. Things that were so hurtful, difficult to live with them. And probably now are still very difficult. May still bring tears to your eyes. Or maybe still bring anger to you. God tells us he's always in control. He wants us to be safe. He wants us to have peace. And he wants us to have long life. All of the stresses and anxieties of this life can really affect our health, but the Lord tells us he wants us to have long life. Look at Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Again, that's Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Now, my grandfather used to read the Bible. He went to one church, and my grandmother went to a different one. My mother and father and my siblings and I went to the church that my grandmother attended. But my grandfather went to a different one. He became a Sunday school teacher when he was a young man. And he taught Sunday school at this other church until he was in his 90s. The way when he was about 93 or 94. And I remember him talking about the fact that we could have long life that God promised it to us if we obey our parents. And he loved this verse. I didn't know where that was in the Bible, but I remembered him talking about it. God gives us many promises in the Bible, and I'd like to read this one again. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Whether you're a parent or a child, whether you're a child now or a grandparent now, this scripture regarding long life says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. That's Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Now let's move on to wisdom. And this is from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 2, verses 1 and verse 5 through 6. If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. For the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. Proverbs 2, verse 1 and verses 5 through 6. Now we come to deliverance. Deliverance. In Psalm 34, 19, it says, a righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. That's Psalm 34, 19. And companionship. None of us want to be alone. The Lord did not make us to be alone. He made us to be in fellowship and communion and companionship with him. And he made woman for man because he didn't want us to be alone. Not everyone on earth will be married as humans. But when we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we are married to him. Here is Hebrews 13, verse 5 in the New King James Version. This says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The second part is James 4, 8. The first sentence here, which I mentioned earlier in the show, says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's Hebrews 13, 5. And then James 4, 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And if you draw near to him by reading his word in the Bible, he certainly will draw near to you. You can develop your personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by reading his word and meditating on it, asking his Holy Spirit to help you understand it. Next, let's go to Matthew 21, 22, which says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Now read the whole chapter there so that you don't take that out of context, okay? Matthew 21, 22, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Next, I'm going to read hope, and then I'll go on to reading our chapter of the Bible for tonight, which again is going to be 1 Samuel chapter 20, talking about crossroads and making decisions. But now, here is hope. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's found in Jeremiah 29:11. Again, that's Jeremiah 29:11. Now, if you have your Bibles, I hope you'll read along with me. I'll repeat the scripture verses again. I'm going to be reading from the book of 1 Samuel and chapter 20. And this involves making decisions. And David and Jonathan. David, before he became king, he had already been anointed, but had not yet become king. Saul, the father of Jonathan, was still king. And Saul had become very jealous of David. But Jonathan, the son of King Saul, was a great friend of David. They loved each other. They loved each other as best friends do. David was very brave, and Jonathan loved that about him. David had killed the giant who was threatening the people. And so Jonathan had great respect for David. So now I'd like to say a short prayer before we begin here. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you please to empty us of ourselves here, Lord, and fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, your love, your peace, and your joy, so that there is no place left in us for Satan, so that we cannot give place to the devil. And I ask you, Lord, to please enlighten our minds and illuminate your word to us. Please help us understand your Holy Scriptures and apply them to our daily lives. And I ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for your great sacrifice of the cross, for allowing Jesus, your only begotten Son, to be separated from you and to suffer and die for us, to pay the debt for our sins. Thank you for giving us Jesus to be our Savior. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for your ultimate sacrifice of willingly suffering all of the horrific torture and humiliation, the shame and degradation, and the shame of being suffering the most painful and most shameful death of being hung on a tree, being crucified, for willingly laying down your own life, for being the substitute for us to pay that debt for our sins, for willingly dying for us, allowing every last drop of your own blood to be shed out for us. Thank you for your great sacrifice, Lord Jesus. Again, I ask, please help us understand your Holy Scriptures and apply them to our daily life, Lord. We give you thanks and praise. And now, let's read from 1 Samuel chapter 20. And this I apply to my life in making some decisions, a great decision I had to make recently involving a crossroads. Are you facing a great decision that could be life-changing? Are you standing at a crossroads? Maybe you can apply this to your life today. So let's begin. Again, Lord, please help us understand your Holy Scriptures here and apply them to our daily lives. Thank you, Lord. Then David fled from Naioth in Ramah and went and said to Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?" So Jonathan said to him, "By no means. You shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing, either great or small, without first telling me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." Then David took an oath again and said, "Your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes. And he has said, 'Do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved.' But truly, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death." So Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you yourself desire, I will do it." And David said to Jonathan, "Indeed, tomorrow is the new moon, and I shall not fail to sit with the king to eat. But let me go, that I may hide in the field until the third day at evening. If your father misses me at all, then say, 'David earnestly asked permission of me that he might run over to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family.' And he says, 'Thus, it is well. Your servant will be safe.' If he says, 'Thus, it is well,' your servant will be safe. But if he is very angry, be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore, you shall deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. Nevertheless, if there is iniquity in me, kill me yourself, for why should you bring me to your father?" But Jonathan said, "Far be it from you. For if I knew certainly that evil was determined by my father to come upon you, then would I not tell you?" Then David said to Jonathan, "Who will tell me? Or what if your father answers you roughly?" And Jonathan said to David, "Come, let us go into the field." So both of them went out into the field. Then Jonathan said to David, "The Lord God of Israel is witness. When I have sounded out my father sometime tomorrow or the third day, And indeed, there is good toward David. And I do not tell you, if I do not send and tell you, may the Lord do so and more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I will report it to you and send you away that you may go in safety. And the Lord be with you, as he has been with my father. And you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. So David made a covenant with the house. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies. Now Jonathan again caused David to vow, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow in the new moon, and you will be missed, because your seat will be empty. And when you have stayed 3 days, go down quickly and come to the place where you hid on the day of the deed, and remain by the stone Ezel. Then I will shoot 3 arrows to the side as though I shot at a target. And there I will send a lad, saying, go find the arrows. If I expressly say to the lad, look, the arrows are on this side of you, get them and come. Then, as the Lord lives, there is safety for you and no harm. But if I say thus to the young man, look, the arrows are beyond you, go your way, for the Lord has sent you away. And as for the matter which you and I have spoken of, indeed, the Lord be between you and me forever. Then David hid in the field, and when the new moon had come, the king sat down to eat the feast. Now the king sat on his seat, as at other times, on a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul, by Saul's side, but David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought, something has happened to him. He is unclean. Surely he is unclean. And it happened the next day, the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why has the son of Jesse not come to eat, either yesterday or today? So Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked permission of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, please let me go, for our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in your eyes, please let me get away and see my brothers. Therefore, he has not come to the king's table. Then Saul's anger was aroused against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you shall not be established, nor your kingdom. Now therefore, send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said to him, why should he be killed? What has he done? Then Saul cast a spear at him to kill him, which Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to kill David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had threatened him shamefully. And so it was in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad was with him. Then he said to his lad, now run, find the arrows which I shoot. As the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. When the lad had come to the place where the arrow was, which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried out after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond you? And Jonathan cried out after the lad, make haste, hurry, do not delay. So Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came back to his master. But the lad did not know anything. Only Jonathan and David knew of the matter. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to this lad and said to him, go, carry them to the city. As soon as the lad had gone, David arose from the place toward the south fell on his face to the ground and bowed down 3 times. And they kissed one another, and they wept together, but David more so. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'May the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. What a story of two friends, two men who loved each other. Both were strong and courageous and good men. Both were serving the Lord. David had already been anointed to be king and was serving under the king, faithfully being obedient to the Lord, to God, considering the king, Saul, the anointed of God. David refused to harm him, refused to retaliate against him. He waited for the Lord to intervene. He had very difficult decisions to make. He was at a crossroads, wanting to know, needing to know, should I stay or should I go? And here, obviously, it was time for David to go. He needed to leave to save his life. Are you facing some crossroads in your life today, whether it's in a relationship with someone, in marriage or business, or some other familial relationship, family, relatives, friends, in education, trying to decide which way to go, a new career, even in ministry? It could involve a hobby, some type of financial investment. Could be any type of expenditure. Whatever it is that you're facing, whatever decision you need to make, is it something very simple? Or is it something that could be life-changing? Is it something you're keeping secret? Or is it something that you are willing to speak with others about, to get counsel, to get advice? And who are you accepting, seeking advice from? The best place to go, the best person to consult for any decision is the Lord. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? God tells us that He is the only way to heaven. Whatever other decisions we need to make in life, the first one, the most important decision we need to make, is whether or not to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, whether or not we believe, we are going to believe that God exists and that He loves us, that there is heaven and hell, that we can actually know that we can be with Him in heaven. The first place to start with for any decision, to make the wisest choice in anything, is to know God, to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When we do that, He sends His Holy Spirit to live in us and to live out the Christian life through us, and we can consult Him for anything. Would you like to do that? Would you like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and know that He will fight your battles for you, that He will fight your enemies for you? If you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to say a short prayer with me. Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord. He is our sword and shield. He gives us spiritual weapons, the armor of God, the full armor of God, which includes the sword and shield. The shield is our faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our warrior, our defender in battle, our Savior. And the sword, the sword of the Spirit, it's the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, where we can find truth, where we can develop our personal intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus, where we can always find Him, where we can always seek answers to our questions and for help to making our decisions at the throne of grace and mercy, the throne of God. We need to put our faith and trust in Him. If you would like to do that, Will you follow me in a short prayer? What we need to do is simple. We need to acknowledge the fact that we are sinners and we need a Savior because we can't get to heaven on our own, no matter what we do. We need to repent of our sins. Would you like and receive Jesus as Savior? If you would like to do that now, will you pray this short prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I trust by faith that you are God, that you are the Son of God. I trust by faith that you died on the cross to pay the debt for my sins, and that you rose again from the dead, and by your resurrection, you give me the hope of eternal life. I repent of my sins, understanding that that means to make a change, to turn around and leave my old way of life behind, and to allow you to live the Christian life through me, because I know I can't do that on my own. I believe you rose from the dead, and I'm asking you to be Lord and Savior of my life. I trust by faith that you are alive, that you live in heaven, and you live also in the hearts of those who choose to follow you in the Christian life, who receive you as Lord and Savior. So I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of my sins and to be Lord and Savior of my life. I want to live for you, and I'm trusting you by faith, Lord. I want to be with you in heaven when I die. I ask it in Jesus' name, and I give you thanks. Thanks and praise to you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart, you can be sure now that you will be with Jesus Christ in heaven, because there's nothing you can do to buy your way into heaven. You can't do enough good deeds to get to heaven, but Jesus has just given you salvation freely. He says it's a gift. We are saved by grace through faith, by the grace of God, through our faith in his Son, Christ Jesus. Now what you should do, since you've chosen to follow Jesus and to allow him to live the Christian life through you, to live for Jesus, we serve him because we love him for dying on the cross to pay the debt for our sins. He has given us everything. He gives us new life, new possibilities, new hope, and eternal life. So we want to serve him. You should join a church that teaches the Word of God directly from the Bible, directly from the Bible. You should join a Bible study. Be in fellowship. That means to be in the company of other people who are worshiping and praising God. Go to church that worships God and praises him. Be in fellowship with him, with them. Become one of the members of God's family in the church and serve others and help others. Be there to encourage others and allow them to encourage you. Tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them what you have done and what he is doing in your life. Let them know that it's not going to be easy. The Christian life is not easy, but God is with you. He is with us. He is here with us no matter what happens. No matter what happens, we need to put our faith, our hope, and our trust in him and not give up and not blame him for the bad things that people do. There's evil in the world. People use their free will to commit evil deeds. That's why there's evil, and because there's another power here, that's Satan, the evil one. He is as evil as God is good. So tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is God, that he lives and he loves us, and he wants all of us to be saved. Pray to him every day. Read the Bible. Ask his Holy Spirit to help you understand it and do what it says. Meditate on the Word of God and serve him. Ask God what is his plan for your life. Ask him to show you how he wants you to serve him, and he will. Until next time, I pray that you will come to know the love, the peace, and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Catherine Resendez, and this is the Sword and Shield Show. Join us again at 7 p.m. on Thursdays. Oh,
I wondered if I had anything